Welcome, fellow Last Placers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we are going to be actually talking about a Marvel special or a Disney Plus special, wherever, same thing. But we're going to be talking about Werewolf by Night, which came out on the 7th, directed by Michael Giacchino. This is a special that Marvel did say they were going to drop during D23, and no one really knew what it was going to be. But before we get into all those details, I forgot to mention, guys, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, go ahead and pause it, go watch it, come on back, and I'll tell you my thoughts on it. And as always, guys, if you could like, subscribe, comment, and do all that good thing, it really helps with the algorithm. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Also, I apologize if you guys hear some bumping on the mic, just because I'm actually holding it, because I don't have my mic stand right now, but I should have it. We'll have it for the other shows, but if it, I'll listen back to it, it should be fine. But anyway, we're going to talk about this, and it's basically a special for October. And, going into this, I didn't really know what to expect. I did know about the Werewolf by Night character because, Moon Knight actually shows up in a Werewolf by Night comic book, which is Moon Knight's first appearance. So the supernatural and the, monster universe is nothing new to Marvel. They've been writing about those, for years. So those comics books date back. So seeing this, I wasn't sure if it was going to be a TV show, if it was going to be a movie or what it was. And then I found out it was going to be a special. I thought, okay, that'd be kind of cool, especially because, to see what Marvel's MCU's take would be on some of these monsters. And I have to say, I was thoroughly impressed. I love the classic monsters, obviously vampires, werewolves, and stuff like that, and those classic movies. And this special is a homage to those, right? So this is basically following, it's following those traits. So you have your cigarette burned, tape backs, you have your creepy looking monsters, you have all these things. And basically the way that this story starts off is you're following Jack Russell, who is, at the time you don't know who he is, but they basically get called to this meeting because Ulysses Bloodstone has died. And we're listening to the story of how all this happened. You can actually take it as a maybe, someone who's at this gathering ends up killing him. So it was interesting to see that. And you see a bunch of other hunters and stuff coming to pay their homage, but also that they want to get the Bloodstone, right? And the Bloodstone, they're like this, Marvel hunting family, essentially. So basically that's what we get told at the beginning. So it's really cool to see this. And then we went into black and white, right? So we already have this old school horror feel, which, again, if you guys know me, I love horror movies. I always have. So seeing a special like this and Marvel really tackling this, I was really excited, like just going into it. I didn't know what to expect, just because it wasn't really clear until like maybe a week before this came out of exactly what it was going to be. So, I went into this basically like, all right, well, let's see what they're going to bring to the table. So I will say my expectations were, not like high, because not because I didn't think it would, be good or bad or whatever. I just didn't really know what to expect. And usually going into stuff like that is a good way, because, once you set your expectations a certain way, you kind of, even if it's not like the top tier of movies, you're going to be like, wow, that was really great. Not saying that this movie wasn't, or special wasn't, something that couldn't compete with other things, but it was just like, we're going in there. I kind of say it's just like comparing Guardians 1 to Guardians 2, right? Where basically Guardians 1, no one expected anything from Guardians 1 and everyone loves it. And Guardians 2 is kind of the same movie, but it just had expectations to it. So, but yeah, anyway, going into this, we're having this meeting. Basically they're going to do a Hunger Games like thing in order to see who retrieves the Bloodstone. Before any of that kicks off, though, we see that Elsa Bloodstone is on her way there, and she is the daughter of Eleusis, and who was essentially exiled, or however you want to say it. She went to her actual mother, and the woman who's actually hosting is her stepmother, and she actually comes with, you know, obviously vague and coming upset, saying that, you know, you left us here and all this. And we already know that that's going to cause some drama going on there, right? So everyone is basically just waiting. And then we get our little classic cheese, basically, of Ulysses Bloodstone actually being able to talk, looking kind of like Frankenstein's monster, and just speaking and then giving us like some funny puns where he was just like, I'm rotten for you, like basically rooting, but he said rotten. And it was just funny that everyone kind of just looked around and was like, what? It was funny. So I enjoyed it, man. Like all that stuff that happened in there was really cool. And then again, we're following Jack Russell, who is later on, we'll find out who he is. But basically, we don't know who he is at this moment. We only know it if we obviously followed, or if you know the character. We don't know who that person, who he is yet. We're just seeing a bunch of the other hunters just going around, you know, kind of like getting a soft introduction. The thing that I liked about this really was the pacing, right? Because I would say that the characters who got detailed were the ones who were going to matter. And that kind of foreshadowed exactly what was going to happen to the other ones, right? So as we went along, we kind of like didn't get as much information as we did for Elsa and Jack. So you kind of knew exactly what the fate would kind of be for the other people. And again, we're paying homage to an old school, you know, we're paying homage to old school horror and old school monster universe. So it is, you know, not going to be like a crazy storyline where you're expecting like all these twists and turns and stuff like that. It's going to be pretty straightforward. And then you're going to be in there for what the practical arts and the, you know, like the, how the monsters look. And surprisingly, how the fight choreography looks. So before we even get into the fight choreography, basically they are going into this maze trying to get this bloodstone, and it's attached to a monster's back. We don't know who the monster is at the moment, but we know that, you know, everyone's going to go in and the objective is to get the bloodstone. So we get into this maze, basically, and basically it's free game once you get into the maze, right? Whoever gets the bloodstone first earns the right to it. But basically anybody who, you can kill anybody on the way to the bloodstone. So like everyone's free game. It doesn't matter if you, you know, you run into them and, you know, you kill them or whatever. That's not a problem. Like that's part of the game and everyone can die except the person that's in there. So, so it's, one of those things that are really, you know, it is Hunger Games like, so basically we get in there, Jack is the person who gets his card drawn first, so he's able to get in there first and basically start looking for the bloodstone. He then runs into Elsa, and you can already kind of tell that there's something like a, I don't know if it's respect or something as far as like, hey, he's just like, but you can tell something's fishy with Jack. Jack is kind of like, you like, you know, just walk past me. Like, well, I don't really want to fight. That's not something I want to do or whatever. Like, we can just, you know, get out of here. Like we never even saw each other. So that was what Jack wanted to do. Elsa doesn't know how to respond to that because she's already expecting like to have to kill everyone in there. So she kind of like walks away, and then we see the, I forget the person's name who has the axe, but basically they get into a fight. She takes the axe from him and then is, you know, off looking for this again, and then ends up fighting one of the other hunters where she cuts off his hand. Takes the crossbow, which if you guys know anything about Elsa Bloodstone, that's pretty much like her weapon kit. So seeing that was pretty cool and how she did it. And again, I was really impressed with the fighting in this special, I guess, because I didn't expect the choreography to be as good as it was. And I don't know why that is, though. Like, I guess because we were getting, I guess, not promoted, but I guess because it felt like it was going to be a classic monster kind of thing, you didn't really, like, in your head when you're watching it, you don't expect to see like some crazy fight scenes or like, you know, good choreography fight scenes, or you're expecting more of it to be like a monster style fight scenes. But with Elsa, it was fantastic. She just very much doing, you know, kind of Black Widow's style movements and the way that she's fighting is very Hunter-like. I thought it was really cool just to see how they choreographed all these fights and stuff like that. It's really impressive. And I'll talk about something that I really enjoyed later on when I get there. But yeah, the fight scenes to me were just, I really enjoyed those. So we see she kills one of the hunters, ends up killing him with his own crossbow, which that's not the way you want to die, but hey, it happens. But she ends up doing that, ends up hiding. And then, sorry guys. And then after that, we get to see Jack go ahead and talk to the Man Thing. And but he doesn't call him the Man Thing. He actually calls him by his name, which tells us that he knows who the person is, right? And Dr. Ted is his name in the comic books. He is also a person who tried to get the Super Soldier Serum and then transformed into a monster, and that, you know, becomes a Man Thing. And, you know, obviously there's similarities between Man Thing and Swamp Thing, which is DC's or Vertigo's character. And yeah, so it was really cool to see him like on screen, because in the comic books, he does play an interesting role that I think will foreshadow to something that we are also headed towards. So for him to be introduced in this, I found it very interesting. But we can tell that him and Jack are friends, because Jack is talking to him saying, look, man, I can't help you get out of this all every single time this happens. Like, you know, I mean, you need to be able to take care of yourself and stuff. And then he tells him, like, look, this is the last time, but I'm going to find a way to get you out. And, you know, after that happens, he basically gets seen, and then he starts running. He runs into a crypt where Elsa had just finished her fight. She's trying to patch up. He wants to see the cut. He basically wants to heal her, and then trying to, you know, make himself more friendly as Jack. And then Jack just tells her exactly what's going on. So Jack's saying, I'm only here because I'm trying to get my friend out. Like, I have nothing to do with the stone. I really could care less about the stone. It's not a problem for me. Like, if you take the stone, I just want to free my friend. And I thought that was really cool. Like, hey, you know, he has a friend and stuff like that. And then we get to that crypt where it's basically seeing all of the different people who have died there. And if you look at some of those names are actually all just like homages to like Disney directors and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool. In there, and there was a lot of cool little Easter eggs that they threw in there. Basically just like in the beginning, when you see some of those sketches where you see like basically you see what's his name, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but you see the ancient vampires, like I think it's something like that. It starts with an N. I'm really bad with saying names because I only say them in my head. I don't really actually hear people say names. So but he, you know, they have the old school vampires and things like that, which obviously you're talking vampires, we're talking Blade, especially when we know Blade is going to be. And which makes me also think that I wonder if this, like, obviously we know Blade is like, you know, a big character for the MCU and someone, you know, obviously you're going to want them to have their own thing, even though I feel like everyone knows. And it was confirmed that basically the voice that we heard at the end of Eternal was Blade. I'm wondering if they could have just, you know, had him mentioned in this or something, maybe on the wall, just, you know, to keep people in the wave and stuff like that. And again, with all the issues that are going on with that movie, or like, it's really interesting to see the things that are happening and like how the speech is going through that. But to see some of the ancient vampires being introduced and stuff like that, I thought was a really cool and nice touch, just because we know that movie's on the horizon. Also, you know, we're going to see a lot of other like unique things, right? Because even in Wakanda, we're going to see, you know, we're going to see Namor, and like, we're going to see different unique characters, right? So this whole thing that now that we've kind of made this very much a, I want to say, we're building out a lot of characters who can become mutants, or you can refer to them as mutants. And not saying, you know, all the monsters are going to be referred to as like that, but we can do that, and you can put them in that category. And I think that alone is going to be very interesting just because of the things that get, and again, they could just scrap all of this. Maybe people don't like it as much as I did. And you know, and that's the cool thing about this, because you necessarily can drop this special and have it not relate to anything, right? Because it is monsters. It is, you know, things like that. But I think you can definitely put some of these characters in there. And I mean, it'll work in a weird way, but we've had interactions with those in the comics and stuff like that. You just have to give them a purpose and a reason for them to connect, or for a reason to, for them to need each other's assistance. Right. So I don't think that would be a problem. But again, I like that we're going into different places in the MCU, because you don't want it to get, you don't want it to become stagnant in the sense of like, we're telling the same stories. And even when you're telling your origin stories, you don't want it to feel like Iron Man 1, right? Because Iron Man 1, obviously fantastic origin story, but you don't want all of them to have that same premise or that same following. So I think them coming out with things like this or just attempting them, even if they fail, like people give a lot of, you know, are giving a lot of shit to these attempts, but we got to remember, like, you have to try these to see how people are going to react, to see if people enjoy these characters. All these things matter when you're talking about like just testing things out, because you can say, we can sit here and say, oh, this was going to work, or there's no way that's going to work, but we never know, right? How other people are going to react to some of these things. So putting this out and giving the MCU a unique perspective and different things, I think it's going to be a good thing in the long run, even if people are not liking some of the stuff that they're seeing now, which is fine, because you're entitled to your opinion. And if that's how you feel, then that's how you feel, you know? So that's not an issue at all. But I thought that was really cool. We also saw Sasquatch things. We also saw Black Knight Easter egg, which is obviously from Eternals that we got that information from. But basically, as we're going through all of that, they finally get out of the crypt, which was interesting. And then they come up with a plan saying, look, I don't want the thing. I just want to save my friend. Help me save my friend. I've got this explosive. Can you? And she, Elsa, being that she's lived there, knows exactly where to go, tells them where there's a crack in the wall. Go blow up this thing. And then you have a really funny moment where Jack is just basically trying to use this explosive. And I love that Jack is a fun character, right? Like, you know that, you know what his powers are, you know who he really is, but you can see this fun character behind all of that, right? And I think that was a lot of fun for him with that whole bomb thing where he's just trying to put it in, and then he walks away, and then he's like, no, no, no. And then he finally blows it up, and then Man-Thing is able to get out of there, which was great. And then Elsa was able to get the bloodstone. Then Jack, for some reason, tries to touch the bloodstone. And I'm not sure why he tried to touch the bloodstone knowing that he's a werewolf. But clearly no one else knew that he was a werewolf. So the stepmother comes in and she's saying, like, listen, like, oh, you're just a poser in front of all of us. Like, you know, gonna just sit here and lie and be like, try to, you know, be in our skin and stuff like that. And then, you know, pose as one of us. So she locks him up with Elsa because Elsa, she felt like Elsa betrayed them, saying that, oh, basically you betrayed us. That make, like, how could you do this? You're trying to side with the monsters, the people that we're trying to take out of this world. So they get locked up in there. They have a conversation. Jack tells him, look, there's no need to worry. I'm not going to turn into a werewolf because, like, there's 5 days till the moon. Full moon, and that's the only time I can do that, and then that's when I lock myself up. Elsa later explains to him, saying, look, the bloodstone can turn you into a werewolf in 5 seconds. So that's exactly what happens. He gets turned into the werewolf, but before he does that, he does try to get the sense of Elsa so that he can try to remember her, right? Because obviously we know Jack is going to lose full control once he becomes a werewolf. So he becomes this werewolf, he finds a breakout, and this is the scene that I was thoroughly impressed by. The werewolf, wolfman, the fight scenes, the choreography was absolutely fantastic. And I don't care what anyone says, like, that thing was a thing of beauty. Just the way that he fought, his movement, the way that he looked, the way that he was able to attack things from, like, speed. And you can tell, like, I don't know what they did or if you know, I don't think they use much CGI for this, but basically just it being, you know, the way that it looked, the fight scene, the way that the blood came out too, because they had blood, and I guess they were able to get away with it a little bit more because it was in black and white and wasn't in color. So I think that's able to knock your graphics down a little bit. I think with that being done, made those scenes even better because they were gory, but they weren't super bloody. So it still looked like he was doing some real damage, like just biting people and things like that. So, yeah, so the way he was biting and doing things like that to me was just, it was amazing because he fought like a werewolf, right? He wasn't fighting like this, you know, like a skilled person. He was fighting very aggressive. He was going for kills. He wasn't going for any of these little like attacks or anything like that. He was fighting like a werewolf, clawing people, mauling people. Things like that. And man, they made those scenes look so good, like even in black and white. And I think because you're not actually showing the blood, it actually lets you get away with it a little bit more. And we saw Elsa also getting it in, doing a lot of fighting. Like I said, very much a cool style where she was just had a combination of different styles and being able to use, different weapons and things like that. And she was also killing people, like legit, like like slicing throats. She kills that dude with the sword, literally impales him in the head, and like, you know, moves the sword so she can kill him. So it was a bit graphic, and that's a good thing for this because it is a horror, especially with classic. I think them being able to get away with the black and white helped a lot in those scenes, especially because you can, like I said before, you can get into these fights where it is very bloody and it is very like gory, but because there's not any color on there, it just looks like, okay, well, he did this. But I was thoroughly impressed with that last scene, like those last moments, those scenes of basically them fighting. Overall, I was really impressed with this, just the fighting scenes in general. We see that they finally get to Jack. They kind of like the Bloodstone's is starting to do damage. And then Elsa comes to save Jack. And then she goes to walk up to Jack to see what he's doing, or like to see if she can, you know, see if he's okay. And he jumps on her. He realizes that he remembers her, runs off. And then her stepmother tries to kill her or tries to do something to her. Man-Thing ends up showing up, like obliterates her, and then she's just like, where do you, like, basically saying, where'd he go? And then she's like, oh, he's that way. Like, and then he just kind of like follows him along. And I thought that was really, really cool. And then we see the butler come out saying, I was just waiting for you to tell me what to do. And Elsa's like, yo, clean this shit up. And then we see, once she touches the bloodstone, everything come into color. And then we see her in her classic red coat and all that stuff. And I just thought that was such a wonderful ending that, you know, you touch a bloodstone and then now everything goes back into color. They could use that for anything, right? Like, I'm not saying that time traveled or anything like that, but you could technically say, like, you know, because of this, all of this stuff happens, you've opened yourself up to a whole new world that you're in possibility. So I thought all that was so dope. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a really good, nice surprise that I wasn't expecting. So I think this was a really strong job by what they did. And I mean, I'm glad we just got a special because I enjoyed those characters that were in there, but the way that this was and the way that it paid homage to the old monsters and stuff like that, I think this was like the perfect dosage of it, right? And then we get that really good, funny moment at the end with Ted and Jack basically, you know, having a coffee and basically showing you like this is not the first time they've had to do this and things like that, and just the way that their banter and things like that was. So I thought that was all really cool. And like I said, overall, for me, I enjoyed this a lot. I think it's definitely worth the watch, especially if you like old school horror and old school monster universes. Definitely check this one out. I think it's something that people will like, and yeah, I'm interested to hear what other people have to say. So if you guys have a comment and stuff like that, please let me know what you guys thought of this. I would love to hear other people's opinion, especially for those who don't like the Monster Universe or like have not really been a fan of it or anything like that. I would love to hear what you guys have to say about that. But yeah. And also, this is actually one of the first, I think this is the first thing that didn't have an end credit scene, but the directors came out and said that they didn't feel like they needed it because there was nothing really to go forward to. But again, I think a good end credit scene would have been putting something for Blade, right? But we've already heard about all the turmoil and stuff that's going on there. So probably didn't have one ready, but or something, but they need to get it together with that movie, especially when you had something like this where you can show that this can work. So I think they need to get, like, really work on that, because this not mentioning Blade or having him somewhere in like the end credit scene or something like that would have been a great touch for this, especially because it's a special. You would have drawn a lot of eyes to this too, if you could have, you know, just word of mouth, if people would have been like, oh, look, Blade was like in the end credit scene of this or something like that. Like, they should have told it, like, they're missing the ball on that. And I'm really worried about Blade, and I'm not really worried. I usually don't worry about MCU movies. Like, even though even there's some bad ones and stuff like that, you don't really tend to worry about them. This is a little worrying. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they're able to get all that stuff worked out. But again, this is not about Blade. This is about Werewolf by Night. You guys should definitely check it out if you haven't already. Even if you listen to all this, this maybe gave you motivation to go watch it. Go check it out. And then, like I said, let me know what you guys thought about it. But that is going to end it for this episode. I'm actually going to record Rings of Power right after this. So I'm going to be dropping those both on the same day. So if you guys are watching that, I'll be dropping that. Also, check out the other stuff. We dropped She-Hulk. I dropped, what else? Andor and House of the Dragon. So please check those out. And yeah, thank you guys for joining me as always. Until next time, Fire Team out.